How are you today? Things set up a little weird. Video's a little weird today, but that's okay. So, I thought I would jump in here. I know I didn't warn anybody, but I wanted to jump in to do another teaching on the Courts of Heaven on our book. So, I thank you guys for bearing with me as I have been transitioning. I have a professional photography studio. So I do photography. I run that business. I try to make t-shirts. I haven't been able to do much of that recently, but I want to get back to making the t-shirts. Those were awesome. And I have been cleaning houses. So the cleaning houses, make sure I'm on my internet here. I don't know why I would have a slow connection. That's interesting. So the cleaning houses was to help fund the photography while I've been getting that up off the ground and the ministry and stuff, or for me to be able to go when we have Red River, when we do other things. So I have been transitioning now out of all that. I just stopped cleaning houses, so I'm transitioning. I just have too much going on. I homeschool my son, so besides the photography business, the ministry, cleaning houses, t-shirts, homeschooling, the house, husband, all those things, it's just too much. So, and God's been transitioning. He told me that we would be doing more with ministry this year, and so I needed to stop cleaning. I had cut back some, but it was time to just completely stop. So I have been transitioning, so it's been a little slow getting these videos out and doing this study, but it should be better now that I have cut that out. So I'm just entering a new season, and there's going to be a lot more teaching and ministry in this season. So we're moving on with the book, and we're only going to do chapter 6 today because there's a lot in it. So then I'm hoping in like a couple weeks we can do chapter 7. So I've already read it. I was gonna teach on both, but it's gonna be way too much. So we're doing chapter 6 today, and in a couple weeks we'll do 7 because next week Chris and I are going to Illinois, Rockford, Illinois, and we'll be ministering at House of Joy Church out there. And so that's when we love Pastor Dave and his wife and everyone out there. So it's going to be awesome. And we're excited. The Lord's bringing us back out there. So what we're doing, this is our book. If you're first joining us, Operating in the Courts of Heaven by Robert Henderson. And one thing I love with his books, they're very grounded and, cause some of the teachings out there can get off. I know there's a lot with the Courts of Heaven. You just got to be careful what you're listening to and what teachings, because if we do this in the body of Christ all the time, right? We take stuff and run with it. This is so weird. It looks different. This video looks different. I can't like see what's going on. Anyways, so in the body of Christ, we do this with all kinds of things, right? We learned about spiritual warfare, right? God gave us that revelation, and then we took it and run with it, and then we make it legalistic and we turn it into a doctrine, and then we don't always agree with each other. So, the Baptists changed the doctrine to mean what they wanted, and then the Methodists do this. And so, anyways, and then it becomes all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And it becomes legal and a law. And that's not how God wants us to operate. We always enter the courts of heaven through the Holy Spirit. There's many ways of doing it. You let the Spirit guide you in how to do it. When He draws you in, He draws us in. So you want to be careful about teachings that are works-based. We do not want, whether it's courts of heaven, whether it's spiritual warfare, whether it's declarations, governing, whatever it is, there is no, watch out for those that get legalistic and that are more works-based. You have to do this, or you have to do it in this sequence, then God will do this, then He'll act. It's not works-based, okay? Jesus has already overcome it all. Jesus has already won. It's the blood of Jesus that speaks in the courts for us. You know, we have already won. We just go in and stand in our place and the authority and the victory that we already have through him to establish these things, the ecclesia, right? So we don't, you want to watch out for stuff that's works-based. That's you have to go into the courts this way and you have to say this and you have to say that and you have to do this and oh, don't forget to do this or it's not completed. The Holy Spirit will lead you and show you what to say, what to do, and it's going to be different every time. Jesus never healed the same every time, and he never cast demons out the same every time. Nothing was the same every time, and it's not that way with us. Only Holy Spirit truly knows each situation. He knows more than we do. So anyways, chapter 6, here we go. And I don't know if any of you are on. It's not showing me if anyone's watching. It's not showing me comments. I don't know if anyone's there, but if not, you all watch it later, because I know I didn't warn you that I was going to come on here. I just kind of jumped on today. I've been trying to get to this, but as I said, I've been transitioning out of cleaning houses and doing photography and starting back up homeschooling. We take a break for the fall, so everything's been crazy, but now it's settling. We're settling into the new routine. I'm starting to catch up. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm ready to start my new season here and to get more into teaching and doing more on the podcast. I have like 30-something episodes on the podcast if you want some teachings. And I have more brewing inside of me that's going to be going up. So chapter 6, let's get to our book now. And my thing keeps saying slow connection. So hopefully it's recording okay. I don't know why, because I'm at my studio on my Wi-Fi. There shouldn't be a slow connection. So this is kind of interesting. It keeps doing that. Hopefully it's not cutting out on you guys. But can I see what's up there? I don't even know what's up there. Okay. Anyways. Okay. Bride, angels, and worshipers. So in our last chapter, that teaching is up. It's on our YouTube. It's in our Patreon. Now, in our Patreon group, I can get the link for that and put it in this group. But on our Patreon, I have been putting all these Courts of Heaven teachings in there. There's a whole collection. Like, you can go to our collections and I have the videos grouped, so it's easier to find stuff. But I have the Courts of Heaven ones in there, all in a group together. And so, and they are visible to everybody. There's some of our videos are only for our Patreon partners that are partnering with us and sewing into the ministry. It's just a few, some teachings and things that is just, you know, as a thank you to them for supporting us and our ministry and being part of what we do in that way. But we also want a lot of things free. We don't want to charge. We don't want, you know, to charge for what God's doing. So there's a lot of stuff that we feel should be available for everyone. So it is. And the Courts of Heaven is one. These are always available for anyone to watch, whether you are a paid, you know, Patreon partner or a free Patreon partner. There's lots to see in there if you are a free Patreon partner. There's still lots in there, and we post lots all the time. So chapter 6, brides, angels, and worshipers. Let's get to it now. Chapter 5, we talked about the mountain of the Lord. So if you need a refresher, go back and watch that video. And we talked about going into the mountain of the Lord and up in Mount Zion, how Zion is the mountain of the Lord. It is a spiritual realm. It is the realm where the courts are. It is the realm where the holy Jerusalem is, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's what we're talking about today. So he starts out in chapter 6. The next thing we have come to and are part of is the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. This is the bride of Christ. So when the Bible talks about the heavenly Jerusalem and talks about Jerusalem, you know, the heavenly one, it's also referring to the bride of Christ and also the mother of us all. Revelation 21, 9 through 10 unveils the Lamb's wife as being this city. So it says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So the angel came to show him the bride of Christ, and what he showed him was a city, not a person, not people, although it is us. And you'll see that later too. So then he says, the angel wanted to show John the Lamb's wife. I just said that. It was a city coming down from heaven. We know that the Lamb's wife is the church. So the city that is being seen is the corporate people of God. So the heavenly Jerusalem is us, the corporate people of God. The bride of Christ and the heavenly Jerusalem are synonymous with each other. It speaks of the different functions and operations of the same people. So there are times that we are the bride and we're functioning and operating as the bride. There are times that we are the heavenly Jerusalem and we function and operate as Jerusalem. So it goes on. I love this. It says, and on one hand, the wife of the Lamb is called to great intimacy with the Lord and to rule with him. On the other hand, we are an operating city that has the power to extend the rule of the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:14 shows us Jesus referring to his disciples as a city. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So we are that city set on the hill. And I love all that I just read that he wrote, that we are the wife of the Lamb is called to great intimacy with the Lord, but is also an operating city that has the power to extend the rule of the kingdom of God. So union and ecclesia are so important. These are our functions, to be in union with him, intimacy with God. Union is important. There's functions that we do in the kingdom realm, in the spiritual realm. There's authority we have that we can tap into through union with God, through that intimacy with him. But there's also a function and an authority that we step into when we step into our function as the city, the holy Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the ecclesia, God's governing body. So there's times that we are called to intimacy and there's times that we are called to extend the rule of the kingdom of God, establish this kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The city on a hill is this heavenly municipality or the hill of Zion. We are not to be hidden, but to be releasing influence into all the earth. So we are not to hide, we are to release influence into all the earth. And that doesn't mean we run around yelling at people and trying to control everything. That's not releasing influence. It is stepping into our place of spiritual authority in that heavenly realm, in the mountain of the Lord, in Zion, and functioning, declaring, decreeing, governing, to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to establish his will here, now, on the earth. Let's see. It is only out of our unbridled intimacy with Jesus that our function as the heavenly city is realized. So intimacy is so important. So being the bride, being in that intimate place with the Lord, that union with God, that is where we hear and learn the heart of the Father. That is where he tells us his secrets. And that is where we can realize our function and our authority in and as the heavenly Jerusalem, as the city on a hill. So, but you have to have intimacy. You can't establish the will of God if you don't know the will of God. And that's not gathering facts from scriptures, but knowing God intimately, knowing him truly. You know, that intimate experiential knowledge. You have to experience him, to know his will, to know his desires in order to step into your function as the heavenly Jerusalem, as his city on a hill, to establish that as the ecclesia and establish that and govern it into the earth as it is in heaven. So good. So it takes both. I love how God does that. He makes us and our callings to interweave with others. You cannot accomplish the vision that God has given you, the place he has called you to, whether it's ministry, whether it's being a wife, being a mother, working in a job, whatever it is, where God is calling you to and the vision he's given you, you are not going to fulfill it and accomplish it alone. He did not design us to do these things alone. He designed us to need each other. We each have a part. That's why we see in part and we know in part and we function in part. And as we come together, it creates the beautiful picture of God's desire and God's will and what he has for us. You cannot accomplish your dream, the dream God's placed in you, your calling, without others. And I love how he's just designed everything that way. And how there's many layers to it all too. And we each have a piece of that puzzle. So, and you cannot govern, you cannot be the heavenly Jerusalem, the city on a hill God's called you to be, without the intimacy with him to know his will. How are you going to establish his will if you don't know his will? How do you know his will? And when you know his will, when you're intimate with him, is where you realize your authority and your function as that city and where your place is in that plan of God, whatever it's called. Okay, so I love it. Isn't it so good? Let's see. Jesus actually warned the church at Ephesus about losing her first love. So if you read Revelations 2:2-5, it's where he talks about how they lost their first love. They had the works, but they didn't have the love anymore. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. So they had the works without the love. They lost their first love. They lost the intimacy with God, and they were going through the motions and they were doing all the things, but they had forgot about that relationship. They forgot about the intimacy part of it. And you can't have one without the other. Needs both. It is possible to be doing all the right things, but be disconnected with the one who loves us and who we are to love the most. So when you're disconnected from the source, you're a mess. Your ministry will be a mess. It's not going to bear the fruit it needs to bear. It may bear some fruit. It may look like it's bearing fruit and it's making progress, but the fruit is short-lived and doesn't last. The progress doesn't last because there's no roots in that solid soil and foundation because you don't have the intimacy. So intimacy is so important. Knowing God's will is so important because when we go into the courts of heaven, you need to know the will of God. You need to know his desires and know what to say and what to do and what he wants to happen so that you can establish his will, which is always for your good. He wants us free from things. He doesn't want us to struggle. We'll talk about it soon, but you also birth things in the court. So the courts isn't just about breaking curses or getting free from patterns or free from these accusations from the enemy that he holds over us at times. You know, it's also about birthing. There's many things that happen in the courts, governing. You know, many times we're operating in the courts and don't realize it. And whether it's a physical courtroom in the heavenly realms, or it's just a symbolic metaphor of being the governing body and governing and, you know, legislating for the kingdom of God, you know, that doesn't matter, you know? So yeah, it's possible to be doing all the right things, but be disconnected from the one who loves us and who we are to love the most. So you have to have that love. to lose the lampstand, like it said, where he said, you lost your first love, and they need to remember where they have fallen and repent, or else he would come and quickly remove their lampstand. So to lose the lampstand would mean that you ceased to be a church by heaven's standards, without the intimacy and only the works. You are not recognized in heaven anymore. There are churches on this earth that are not recognized by heaven. The earth would still be, will still call it a church, but heaven wouldn't recognize it. The authority that God intended to be carried by this church would be forfeited and negated. Now, there's a minister that I do follow a lot of his teachings. There's several I'll listen to. Whoever's feeding me at that moment, wherever the Holy Spirit is speaking and feeding me, that's what I'll listen to then. And he went with his team to, invited to some church somewhere to do some meetings. He got there, I think it was the day before, and something just didn't feel right. And he went in union with God into that place of intimacy. It's like, God, what's going on? He was shown that that church was not recognized by heaven. And he had never thought of that before. But it was birthed out of a rebellion to their former church, that they just didn't agree with everything. And so they started that church out of rebellion. So it was not recognized by heaven. So there are churches and ministries. There may be fruit, but like I said, it's going to be short-lived. Because they are not recognized by heaven. The people may love what they're saying. They're doing all the things. So they're attracting all the people that want all the things. But Jesus will say, never knew you. The authority that God intended to be carried by that church or the ministry would be forfeited and negated. And the same with us. We have to have that intimacy or we don't have that authority. There's such a difference when you see a worship leader leading worship. You can tell the difference in a worship leader that comes from that place of intimacy and spends time with the Lord, and the worship leader that's going through the motions and just picking songs, and it's not coming from, and they don't have that intimacy. You have to have that intimacy to have the authority. So when the worship functions in that authority that it's called to have, and it breaks open the heavens and causes healing and causes the prophetic to move and causes heaven to come down and the Spirit of God to move and all the things, you don't do the things and not have intimacy. You need that intimacy, and then all the things will follow. They will just come. But so that place in worship where they are coming from that place of intimacy, there's a frequency on it, and heaven responds. When you're just coming to do a job and you haven't spent that time with the Lord and you're not in intimacy and you're just putting together a set list and you're singing your songs and doing your thing, the authority is not there. The worship's not going to do very much at all. Okay, so moving on. We are also told that this heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all in Galatians 4:26. As the bride of Christ, this heavenly city, from its union with him, conceives and gives birth to the purposes of God. So when we go in the courts, as we function as the bride or as a birthing mother. So we, the bride of Christ, the heavenly Jerusalem, is the mother of us all. And mother's birth. And that's basically what we do in the courts many times. You've done it in prayer, I'm sure. There's travailing prayer. There's birthing prayer. And many times that is done in the courts. When you are doing that, when you are in a birthing prayer, a travail, when you're praying for something, you're birthing something in the spirit, you actually are in the courts birthing something and bringing it into being. We cannot enter that heavenly Jerusalem without intimacy. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. So because we have been delivered from the bondage of the law. We no longer seek to please God by obeying the law, but by walking in the freedom and liberty of the Holy Spirit. And that is the key, that we are led by the Spirit. We are not bound to the law. We are not having to do works and to please God and obey the law and give our sacrifices and go to temple, you know, every whatever they did, you know, back then, and do our animal sacrifices and your drink offerings and your burnt offerings and, you know, all that stuff. Jesus has already done all that, you know? So it's about being led by the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Let's move on. Let's skip forward here. You need to get this book if you don't have it and read. Hey, Marie. So skipping forward, I'm on page 99 now. Being led by the Spirit, what he's saying that scripture means is that from a loving relationship with God as our Father, we fulfill His will in a place of safety and confirmation that we are His children. It is the Holy Spirit who fashions His nature in us and causes us to long for what He longs for and hate what He hates. See, that's why we need that intimacy, to have that relationship with where the Holy Spirit leads us and fashions us and causes us to long for what He longs for. He gives us the desires of our heart, because through intimacy with Him, our desires become, His desires become our desires, right? And we love what He loves and hate what He hates. We become more like Him. We reflect Him more. We know His will, and then we can come and establish it here on the earth. So when the church, with this revelation and awareness, comes into union with the Lord, we produce the right things in the earth. So that's that giving birth. Conception, pregnancy, and birthing are all things that qualify someone to be a mother, he says. But this is what is done in the courts many times. It's not just about breaking curses and beating up the devil. You know, it is about conception, pregnancy, and birthing. Things will be birthed in the courts. Things will progress many times in the courts. When the enemy is trying to come against something God is birthing, or something that God has birthed and that you are doing, and there's hindrances, sometimes you go in the courts, you know, during that pregnancy. You go into the courts to birth things. As heavenly Jerusalem, we are bringing forth the purposes of the Lord in the earth. This will involve travail, which speaks of prayer, intercession, and supplication before the Lord. So sometimes when you go in the courts of heaven, you are going in there, you won't be saying, you know, you won't be, you know, saying all these things and asking the Lord to render a verdict, and you're gonna, you know, agree with your adversary, and, you know, and it's not going to be like all that stuff with all that language, and the enemy's there and he's accusing you and you're asking God to cancel out a contract that's not right, and, you know, and like we learned last time, and setting a new case. You know, sometimes you're doing all that, but sometimes you're going into the courts, and the way you are going to present your case and all that stuff is just simply by intercession and, where did it say, intercession, prayer, and supplication before the Lord. This means that we as the people of God are to bring forth the intent and desire of the Lord by being His womb in the earth. Travail and intercession are a part of functioning in the courts of heaven. So we birth things in the courts as well. And sometimes that's how you win your case. So the intercession of the church / city / Lamb's wife is speaking in the courts of heaven before His throne. So we go into the courts and the blood speaks for us when we're being accused, but also our intercession speaks in the courts before His throne. So sometimes even to birth things, to birth a ministry, to birth a business, to birth a characteristic inside of you, you know, or something God's doing, whatever it is, and something needs birth and something needs that breakthrough. You know, it's not always that the enemy's, you know, hindering you or has something legal against you. Sometimes it's about going and birthing it in the courts. You know, you just birth it. Like, don't even think like, I have to go to the courts to birth it. Sometimes the Lord draws you in, but sometimes just going into that intercession and that travail, you are in the courts and you don't have to think about it, right? We're not getting legalistic about it and we're not getting works-based about it. So then he goes on and he starts talking about a man who asked him to take him into the courts of heaven because he was looking at facing jail time in real life. So he takes the man to the courts and learns that, you know, through intimacy, that violence was an accusation against him, it says. And then suddenly, without warning, the young man began to travail, cry, and groan in prayer and repentance. Now, when he went to the natural courts, it didn't look like the judge was going to favor him at all. You know, but then at the end, the judge did. The judge said, you know, finish your jail time at home, you know, and all this stuff and just be on probation. And it was, even the lawyer was like, I'd never seen anything like this, especially from this judge. So his travail birthed the natural verdict he got in the natural courts. But we can change the course of things through birthing things in the courts. So sometimes when you're birthing something, you're in the courts and you don't realize it. But that's okay. You don't have to. You just birth, you know? Just go. Know that when you are birthing something in prayer, many times you are birthing it legally, right? You are bringing it into existence through the courts of heaven. And it is being recognized by heaven. Okay. The next spiritual activity mentioned in this spirit dimension is an innumerable company of angels. So the heavenly Jerusalem, which is us, but there's also an innumerable company of angels. It's so awesome. If you guys are commenting, I can't see it. I don't know why it's not showing me. Maybe you're not commenting. I don't know. Last time I saw no comments until after I was done, and then I went back to the video after it was posted. So if you're commenting, I'm sorry, I'm not ignoring you. I just don't see him, and I'm not sure why. That's okay. Okay, so an innumerable company of angels. It shows me people are watching sometimes, but not anyone's talking. So there is much angelic activity in the legal realm of the spirit. Whether we see them or not, they are present. There's always angels all over. Whether you're in the courts, whether you're just, you know, spending time with Daddy in the throne room, walking around with Jesus, you know, in the heavenly realms, just sitting here on earth, sitting in church, doing the dishes, doing your laundry, working at your job. There's angels everywhere. If there's an innumerable company, they're everywhere. They are here to help us, to assist us. So let me get back to what he's saying, because I love angels. I have teachings on angels. So if you want to see those, they're on my podcast and they're in Patreon. There is much angelic activity. Okay, whether we see them or not, we are told angels have many functions. So if you want to know all their functions, I'm going to talk about some here, what he's talking about. But I have teachings on angels, and one of them does go through the different types of angels and their functions. The Lord sends his angels to help us in our weakness. So yeah, so angels, they help us, they minister to us, they bring revelation. There's angels that bring revelation. There's angels that bring the healing of the Lord. There's angels that bring us messages. They minister to us and strengthen us. And they did with Jesus. And he mentions that in Luke 22:42-44. The Lord sends his angels. Wait, what did you say? That's when Jesus was in the garden and he sweated the drops of blood. He was wrestling with what was about to happen. And angels appeared and strengthened him. So it says, you know, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So once the angel came and ministered to him and strengthened him, It says it would appear that the presence of the angel gave Jesus added inspiration and power to pray. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the Son of God, he's actually God himself, had angels come to him to minister to him and strengthen him so that he could pray. It says what Jesus was about to do on the cross and in the resurrection had to first be birthed in the realm of the spirit. Even Jesus had to birth things in the spirit before he could do them on the earth. So before he could go to the cross, the garden had to happen, the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to go. He had to sweat the drops of blood. He had to pray. He was interceding. He was travailing. He was birthing the crucifixion. He was birthing the victory. He was birthing salvation. Oh, so good, right? And angels came and strengthened him to do it. Angels strengthened Jesus and helped him to birth salvation, to birth it here on the earth. It was already done and finished from the beginning of time. Before God even created the earth, Jesus was there. And Jesus was going to come. He already had it all in place. He already had salvation for us. He already had the answer to what Adam and Eve were going to do. He already had it all figured out. It had already happened even before the beginning of time. But yet, Jesus still had to first birth it in the spirit through travail and prayer and the courts before he went and did it physically. Oh, isn't that amazing? I never thought about that. I'm like, oh, he's praying in the garden. Like, oh, Lord, like he's psyching himself up. But no, he was birthing it. I never thought of it that way. He was birthing what he was about to do. It was being birthed. The victory was being birthed through prayer. So even Jesus prays to birth things. Even Jesus prays in the courts. So why wouldn't we want to? Okay, we're going to skip forward. I'm on page 104 now. So Zechariah, oh, the flying scroll. So he talks in there. If you want to read, you can go through. He talks about angels. Angels are messengers. They are an army. Talks about some verses where Philip, or an angel came to Philip and told Philip, arise and go toward the south, you know, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, if I'm saying it right. He went, and that's where he met the man from Ethiopia. The man got saved. He baptized him, and then suddenly Philip was translated to a whole nother country and was just gone. And this guy goes back and tells his queen, the queen of the Ethiopians, and everyone gets saved. Well, I don't remember if everyone gets saved. Go read it for yourself, okay? But anyways, it had a huge impact, right? So he's talking about this. So angels are messengers. They're an army. We're skipping forward. They are created beings of God. They are sent to do his activities. They do his word. They heed his voice. They do his pleasure. And they establish his dominion. So then he goes on and he's talking about Zechariah 5, 1 through 4, where the flying scroll is at. So this was pretty amazing, I thought. Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, now this is the angel. The angel is showing him this, right? The angel came to show him all this. I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, this is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and stones. So the one showing this to Zechariah, he says, is an angel. So the angel came and awakened Zechariah to a new place in the spirit. In Zechariah 4, verse 1, says, now the angel who talked with me came back, listen to this, and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. He didn't say that he was sleeping and the angel wakened him out of his sleep. The angel awakened him as a man, comparing it to a man who was awakened out of his sleep. He's not saying he was asleep and the angel woke him up. He was awakened similarly to a man being awakened out of sleep. You're coming from the dreaming realm into the natural realm. When you are awakened out of your sleep, you are brought into another dimension. You are brought back to earth from dreamland, basically, right? And so that's what he's saying has happened. The angel was bringing him into the spirit. So he's in the natural and the angels, like a man being awakened from his sleep, he was literally pulled into the heavenly realms. And he was awakened. His eyes were opened to see. The angel is unveiling many things to the prophet Zechariah. One of them is this whole judgment against what is stopping the restoration of God. We should know that many times people experience a beginning place of restoration. However, a lot of times it seems to stop. This can be because, not always, but it says it can be because something in the spirit world is granting a legal right to the devil to resist the complete breakthrough that is desired and needed. Sometimes we're hindered. Sometimes the restoration the Lord is doing is hindered. The scrolls that the angel was showing Zechariah were the verdicts, decisions, and judgments of God against liars and thieves. So that scroll represented God's verdicts, decisions, and judgments against people. That which was being used to hold up, and that's what was being used to hold up the restoring process of God, was being dealt with. The lies that were told by those, we're skipping forward, who hated the purposes of God, caused the intent and desire of the Lord to be frustrated. The enemy will try to frustrate the works of the Lord that you are doing. Just look at Nehemiah. Same thing happened. This is what God was judging when the verdict of the scrolls shown by the angel was released. So the scroll was flying around. That judgment was released into the earth. There was also a judgment against thieves. This was against the people of God who were using the resources meant to build the temple for the building of their own houses. In Haggai 1, 2 through 7, we see this prophet confronting people about living in luxury while the house of God was in ruins. So you can read that. But basically, by this time, the house of God and its construction had been at a standstill for quite some time. So the people have taken the wood and material that could have been used to build God's house and have built their own houses instead. The work on the temple halted, and they used what was intended for the Lord to build their own house. The prophet is pointing out that the result of this is lack, need, and not enough. So that's what was happening because they took from the Lord and built their own houses. So they were living in lack, need, and not enough. And it's the flying scroll too, basically. They are not flourishing, they are simply surviving. This is because they have, in essence, stolen and misappropriated funds that were designated for the house of God. So, now skip down a little bit. The angel had come to Zechariah to help bring the judgment of God against that which was stopping his process. The scroll, however, was a flying scroll. This means that even though a judgment from the courts of heaven had been issued and rendered, it had not landed in the earth. It would seem that the angelic unveiling it and the prophetic cooperating with this realm could land the scroll against that which was resisting God's restoration. So it was flying around distributing judgment. It needed to be landed and grounded, right? We need the awakening from the angelic to perceive the judgments we have secured from the courts of heaven against God's passion being fulfilled. It would appear that once the prophetic perceives what our activity in the courts has released, decrees and declarations can cause these to be enacted and put in place. This will cause anything and everything that is standing against the desire of God for our inner life or even a nation and culture to be revoked and removed. We learn to prophetically cooperate with the angelic and their operation in and from the courts of heaven. So the angels help us. Not only do we need that intimacy to know the will of God, but also the angels come and help us as well and can bring revelation. As he got the revelation of the flying scroll, that there were still judgments out there and it needed to be, you know, stopped. It was hindering the Lord's work. So you can learn a lot of that stuff through intimacy, but you also learn it through angelic encounters and the angelic. We are also told that we have come to the General Assembly. So let's see. This speaks of the worshipers who are on the sea of glass in heaven as revealed in Revelation. So worship, Revelation 15, 2 through 4. Worship is another key. We cooperate with the angelic. You know, a lot of times when people are giving prophetic words, the Lord is speaking to them. But many times that message the Lord is speaking is coming from an angel. The angel has brought that word of the Lord to the prophet and is inspiring the prophet to speak it. There's many times you can be in meetings, you can be in church, and many times what we feel and think is the presence of God that you're feeling is actually an angel, but they come straight from God's presence. So sometimes it's hard to tell the difference when there's an angel there. I remember we had a minister at one of our Red River meetings, and he was so drunk in the spirit, but he was still determined to pray for people. There were people holding him up while he was walking, trying to get to someone to pray for them. Well, he walked past me while two people were helping him. As he walked past, I suddenly felt such a strong presence of an angel. And as he walked by, then I felt this presence of the angel, and then it went. And it just, you could tell and you could feel it. It was walking with him. So as he's laying hands on people and he's praying for people, this powerful angel is actually administering the will of God through his prayer. So he's praying, which is like this birthing. And the angel is there assisting, bringing forth God's will through his, through the man's prayers to bring breakthrough in these people's lives and do things. So angels help, angels assist. And you can bet when Jesus was healing people, angels were right there too. Okay, we also see, so there's the sea of glass. And if you think in the heavens, there's a sea of glass. You can read that scripture. That was Revelation 15, 2 through 4. We also see this sea of glass in Revelations 4, 6. So the other scripture I just told you in 15, it shows they are worshiping on the sea of glass. There's worshipers on there singing the song of Moses. So they're worshiping God. Then Revelation 4, 6, the four creatures are worshiping the Lord perpetually. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Also connected to this are the 24 elders who are worshiping and crying, "Worthy is the Lamb," in Revelation 4, 9 through 11. So worship is constantly going on around the throne. What is the throne? The throne is the place where the Lord makes his judgments from. The throne is the place of the courts. It's many things, but that's one thing. So worship, real worship has always has its conception in heaven. When we worship in the earth effectively, it is because we are touching the worship of heaven. Remember what I was saying about a worship leader being in union with God and intimacy. When we worship in the earth effectively, it's because we're touching the worship of heaven. Okay. Worship creates the atmosphere that the courts of heaven operates in. It's always good to worship before you enter the courts because that centers you. It gets you focused on the Lord. It gets you into his presence. And it creates that atmosphere. Because remember, he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise and we worship, the presence of the Lord comes down and inhabits that and sits on his throne. We literally create a dwelling place for him to come and sit. And he, what does he bring with him? He brings his judgments. He brings his verdicts. He brings everything, right? Everything. He brings all of heaven with him. The throne is the place of courtroom operation. Decisions are made and judgments are rendered. As we worship in the earth with the worship that's born from heaven, we are able to step into the dimensions of the courts. That's so good, isn't it? We are actually bringing into earth the atmosphere and operation of the courts. We are also stepping into this dimension where decisions made determine what happens. So you're literally bringing heaven to earth. You're bringing the courts here. It's worship is literally that bridge, that connecting point that's connecting heaven and earth. Through worship, we find intimacy. Through worship, we can know the will of God and bring on earth as it is in heaven and establish it. So when you worship, you're literally bringing God, who's setting up his throne where he makes his decisions from. And then you can enter into the heavenly dimensions, up through to the mountain of the Lord, into the holy heavenly Jerusalem, to function as that city on the hill that you are, to establish his will and his decisions here on the earth and his verdicts, and release them, and to cancel out what is hindering God's purposes. Isn't that good? It's so good. You better go get this and read it if you haven't, and go read it again. So there's so much in that, and I skipped a lot of stuff. He just goes so deep in it all. But so there's that, and it's all about really getting us to understand our function through this. The courts of heaven is simply knowing who you are and the authority you carry, and what the blood of Jesus truly does for us, that we can function as the bride, as Jerusalem. And what was the third one? I just forgot. But it's so good, isn't it, right? We're the bride and we're Jerusalem. Oh, and as a mother, as a birther, we will birth things. But it's all connected, right? It's all connected. That intimacy and union with him. Worship. The courts. It's all there. So sometimes we're called to intimacy. Sometimes we're called to establish his kingdom, and they're all intertwined and interconnected. You know, you can govern weather through the courts and through the heavenly realms. So when I govern weather, or I govern my home, like I've told the story where, my mother was staying with us, and, you know, so you've got an elderly mother, you've got a 12-year-old who gets really loud on his video games at times. A 20-year-old that also can get a little loud on his video games. But we got all this going on, right? And these conflicts that could happen. And me and Chris were going to, I think it was Red River, our last Red River. So what I did, because we went on a weekend trip, just one overnight trip. And, you know, the enemy was not happy, and he tried to wreak havoc in my home while we were gone. So what I did when we went to Red River was, and I talked about this at Red River, actually, because I taught on governing. So, you know, and really you're going in the courts when you do that, whether you realize it or not. But what I did was I was outside spending time with the Lord. I think it was the day before we left. And I was worshiping. I was going in union, spending time with him in that intimacy. And then I just started imagining my house. And I did this over my photography studio as well. Just all my stuff, right? This is the land, the domain, the dominion the Lord has given me. And, you know, everywhere my foot treads, these is my spots, right? And so in that authority, in that function, I stepped in. I just imagined my house that was right behind me. But instead of physically walking through it and anointing it and praying and yelling at the devil to get out and to stay away while I'm gone, I literally just, I tried to go in the spirit, right? And it's like, so a lot of that's just inside. So I sat there, I closed my eyes, I just imagined my house, and I imagined myself going in there. So I set my spirit over my home and over my studio. And I went room by room, and I pictured each room and myself in there. And I said, I release the light and the love of Jesus and your presence, Lord, in this room, in my kitchen, in every area. And then I went in this hallway. And I went in each bedroom and the living room and even the bathroom and each room. And I would imagine it. And then I was there and I would picture myself just releasing. And I just released the light and the love and the peace. That was it. Light, the love, and the peace of the Lord, of Jesus, in each room. And then I went in the spirit to my studio and did the same thing. And when we got back from our trip, nothing had happened. My mom said to me, "You need to pray like that more often, because it was so peaceful," she said, "while we were gone. You know, it was amazing." So, but what I did and didn't even realize, I was stepping into the courts and I was establishing God's will and kingdom here. I was stepping into my authority that I had as a son of God, as his ecclesia, as one of the owners of that home, you know, and over that family. And I was functioning and governing in the authority that had been given me. But I was coming from that place of intimacy, like we just read about. I was in intimacy, and then I stepped into that governmental position and place the Lord had for me. And I governed from there. So I literally stepped into the courts and governed my home and the atmosphere in my home. I didn't know I was in the courts. So you don't have to know. I have to be like, "I am now entering the courts, Lord. And I am now standing before your judgment seat. And Jesus is here as my lawyer. And the Holy Spirit's here. He's my paraclete." And, you know, I mean, you don't have to do all that. Just however the Holy Spirit leads you. I was in intimacy and said, "You know what, Lord? I'm covering my home. I'm going in the spirit, and I am setting my spirit over these places you have given me, and just declaring and releasing you and your presence and your love. And I'm releasing your peace." I did that the other day with a baby. I was doing a newborn session in my studio. And now newborns, we get them in usually, like 4 to 6 days, somewhere within the first couple weeks. So this baby did not want to sleep. This baby, I think mom fed him. She was not going back to sleep. There was one more pose we needed to get. Mom really wanted it, right? We hadn't got a whole lot. The baby didn't sleep well the whole time. And then all of a sudden, I'm rocking the baby, trying to get her to sleep. And then I just did the same thing. I just, in my spirit, I didn't speak anything out loud. I just, in my spirit, I just released the peace of God over the baby. And I stood in that place of authority, right? And I just released his peace over the baby. And you know what? That baby, within a few minutes, went to sleep and slept for the rest of the time we needed the baby to sleep for. It was amazing. So I told my assistant afterwards, because she is a believer too, I said, "You know what happened? You know, that baby suddenly finally started sleeping." And I told her what I did. I just released through my spirit. I was holding the baby, so I released the peace and light of the Lord into that baby. And I just sat there in my mind and in my spirit and released, "Lord, I release your peace on this baby." And I just released it into the baby. And then she finally went to sleep and we got to the pictures we needed to. But so I'm even learning how to govern while I'm working in my studio, you know? So, you know, when you have a business, that's why I set my spirit over my studio before we left too, besides just my home. And I released, because I have a fish in here and he wants the spirit of God in here, right? And this is a place the Lord has given me. So when I'm with clients, I can release the peace of the Lord when the kids are not cooperating for pictures. You know, I can release his love that people, and that's my prayer, that people, when they come in for pictures, they'll feel his love and they'll feel his peace and his joy. And I'll be able to impact them even without preaching at them, you know, just by taking their pictures. But I have a governmental position. They're coming into my space. So while they're in my space, I can release the presence of God over them through my spirit. I can govern this space and govern them while they're here. And then they can leave feeling better and feeling something they never felt before. But anyway, so it's awesome. So many times you may be going in the courts and not know it, because all you're doing is you're governing. But when you're doing that, you're stepping in the courts. Do it before you go into your job. You can ascend and go into that place of intimacy and union with the Lord. Go into the secret place before you walk into your job or before you drive there, if you need to. Don't do it while you're driving, you know. You might get translated in the spirit, and who knows what will happen to your car. So do it before you go or when you get there in the parking lot. But ascend and go into that place of intimacy and that secret place with the Lord. And then from the place of intimacy, step into your governmental position and your authority as that employee, and as, because God's giving you that space everywhere you walk. So you're in your job, you might be working for someone else, but you can step into your place of authority and govern the atmosphere around you and the atmosphere in your office or in that place where you're working. You have the authority to do that. So, but come from that place of intimacy. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And change the atmosphere at your job. And really, you're stepping in the courts and you're operating and legislating the atmosphere of that place you work at from the courts. Without, you don't have to sit there and say, I'm no stepping in the courts, you know. Just go and spend some time in the secret place and then step into your job. And as you walk through that door in the spirit realm, you are step into your place, governmental place, and take dominion and govern that atmosphere at your job. So it's pretty awesome. I love it. So good times, right? It was good. So that was chapter 6 and all my extra added stuff. But I think it was really good today, wasn't it? I think it was good. Next we'll do chapter 7. It's called Registered in Heaven. And that's really good too. I don't know, something about Robert Henderson. When I listen to him preaching or I read his books, I just get a lot of revelation. I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? You know, your mind gets blown. So I love it. And I love that you guys are on this journey with me and that we are all learning together. Hi, Rose Esther. I see your comment. So yay. I didn't know if I was seeing comments or not. So there's yours. Glad you're joining us now that I'm about done, but you can always watch the replay. I think I need water too. I've been talking too long. I'm trying to like not talk so long all the time when I teach, but I get so much and I like to get really thorough and really deep with things, right? So anyways, that was today's teaching. I will try to come back in a couple weeks. Upcoming stuff, we got a lot of ministry stuff coming up. So we will be in Rockford, Illinois at House of Joy Church. We are leaving next Wednesday and we will be doing a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next weekend up there at that church, and I may be speaking one of those days too. And then so that's April. May, we have Red River, May 16th, 17th, and 18th. So make your travel plans for that and come on out. It's going to be really good. And then June, we will be in Michigan. Yeah, June we'll be in Michigan doing some meetings. The 22nd and 23rd, or the 23rd and 24th, whatever that weekend is. We will be there Saturday and Sunday in somewhere in Michigan, near Wixom. I know we'll be near Wixom, but we will be in Michigan doing some meetings up there with Sheila and 5 Cents Anointing Oils. So it's going to be really awesome. God, we don't know what's going to happen, but God's doing something. So we'll be up there in June. And then July, me and Chris are taking a vacation. We're going to go up to Moravian Falls. We're just taking some time together, just to spend time together and to kind of revamp, and go on an adventure. And then in the fall, we'll have Red River again. And I feel like I'm forgetting something. There's something else somewhere. And then when churches do have us come in to preach and do stuff, we'll announce it, of course. So there's different things. I want to do a worship gathering here in Owensboro. I just want to gather with some people and we're going to worship just not even known songs. We're just going to worship from our spirits and just go deep and ascend. And if people want to paint, if people want to draw, if people want to just lay flat on their face, whatever. I just want us to come in and be the family of God and just go after him. So we're going to do something there. Who knows what else the Lord has planned. But that's the beginning. So we have something like every month. And anyway, so that's what's going on. We'll keep you posted. I'm not sure if I'll be starting up street worship here in Owensboro. It might be sporadic if I do it. It's not going to be monthly like it had been because we just have so much going on. And I just got to wait for it to warm up too. But we'll see what's going on with that. We might do some worship stuff. But yeah. And I'll be in Clarksville in May 11th for a newborn session. I still have clients out there that want me to shoot their babies and they don't want anyone else. And so I will be out there May 11th to do photo shoots. So if you're in that area and you want a photo session, I'm doing some mini sessions. I can get family pictures, baby pictures, whatever, senior pictures, headshots, you know, you need a business headshot. So I'll be out there for that. Of course, it's not ministry, but it is. And still, it's just a door God has opened for me. Keep us in prayer because we do have a lot going on, a lot of traveling. On top of that, we are helping to take care of my mother. She's in her own place here in Owensboro now, but there's still some stuff that she needs help with. She can't do herself. So it's like being gone. I have to try to make sure there's someone there to help or, you know, it's just taking care of everything. So anyways, I love you guys. And I thank you for supporting me and for going through the book with me as we learn about the courts of heaven. I know it's piqued my interest. I've been wanting to learn about it for a long time. And now God has just really put it on my heart to finally do it. And I like doing it with people. So thank you for joining me and doing it with me. We are the family of God and we can explore and learn. It's a little different than my normal teachings when I go on live and I talk about things and teach on subjects because I'm literally just going through a book mostly. So it's a little different than my normal teachings flow wise, but it's been interesting and it's been fun. So I thank you for joining me for all this and I will see you guys in a couple weeks. I'm trying to get up. I want to get up another teaching on the podcast very, very soon. If I do that, I may just probably go. I don't really know how to work Zoom all that well yet or any other way to do it. I know my camera will do video, but I haven't figured all that out yet. I can take pictures with it, but I'm not sure about video, how to do that yet. So all I know to do is just come live here in the group. But then you guys get to be here. I can interact when I can see comments. And then I just put it onto the podcast. I take the audio and put it on the podcast. So I may be jumping on here in the next few days to do another teaching. I have several of them stirring inside of me. I've got some songs stirring up inside of me. God's got me writing some more songs again. So that'll be interesting. I've never really put out my songs. There's one I've sung at Red River and places I've worshiped or Chris has asked me to sing it. But I have several songs. I've just never really played them for people. But the Lord's stirring some more songs in me. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen this year. And I just love that you guys are on this journey with me. So anyways, thank you, family, for joining me. And I'll see you guys again soon. Bye.